I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I knew it. I love when he does that.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Adrenaline in my soul. Something, something, Cody Rhodes.
Tribal chief around here. Yeah, you see me, the tribal chief. That's right.
On time. But let me go ahead and tell you.
Shut your bitch ass up.
Look how far we've come. You're still here. This is us. These of my confessions. Still going strong. Yeah, man. Let it go.
Thank you. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 408 of the Hoots Podcast on this lovely Thursday, April 11, 2024. This is truly the nefarious brother, Adam, a.k.a. Joshy Lopez. Make sure to follow me, if you like, on Twitter X at the Hoots Podcast. You can also follow us at the Hoots Podcast here on YouTube, youtube.com/the Hoots Podcast. Make sure to like this video and subscribe to our channel. It's on the road to 1,000 subscribers. Definitely want to get one of those like YouTube plaques here in the shrine here in the Break Free room. And I appreciate the support, everybody. We are kicking some ass with a lot of these episodes. And I just want to say and give a big shout out to each and every single one of you who took time to check out last week's episode. Because episode 407 of the Hoots Podcast is now officially the highest listened and most downloaded episode in the history of our podcast, which we now have reached over 30,000 for this particular episode from last week. And does it help that it came during WrestleMania week? Absolutely. But at the same time, I'm very humbled by the fact that we can even reach that mark for one episode of the Hoots Podcast, especially for this being a DIY project. So seriously, man, thank you from the bottom of my heart for continuing to support this show. And the fact is we're not slowing down anytime soon, man. And right now we're at 1.2 million downloads on Anchor, which is pretty cool. And I'm just very excited for how things are progressing with this show, and your guys' support means a lot to me. So if this is your first time, check out the Hoots Podcast. I appreciate it. This is your back porch style pro wrestling podcast. This is not a Sports Center show. I'm not going to put a front on. There may be times you may agree or disagree with what I have to say on this show, but this is the most authentic and raw conversation in the world of professional wrestling that you won't find anywhere else. And we've been having a lot of fun, man, and I appreciate the support for everybody who's still watching and listening to the show. Anyways, this is gonna be one of those episodes, and when I say that, that could go in a lot of different directions. This could be one of those episodes where we have a lot of fun and celebrating what's great with pro wrestling. We're just coming off the heels of one of the greatest WrestleMania weekends of all time. And then also we have to talk about what else is going on in the world of professional wrestling, where there may be a case where I may pop a blood vessel on this episode of the Hoots Podcast. So again, for first time listeners and anybody that's watching and listening right now, I do apologize in advance for the brevity of foul language that I'll be distributing during What the Hell's Wrong with AEW this week. But I'm not holding anything back this week, and it's time to say things that nobody within this realm of wrestling media has the balls to say. So stay tuned for What the Hell's Wrong with AEW. It's going to get very interesting this week, to say the least. But for those who are watching the video version of the Hoots Podcast, make sure to subscribe on YouTube, by the way. If those who watch me live right now can see that I'm wearing the Roman Reigns Acknowledge Me hoodie that I bought a few years ago in Tampa Bay for WrestleMania 37. Crazy to think about this run and try to put it into context. I really wanted to start this first part of the show, take some time to properly acknowledge our tribal chief and kind of put his title reign into context and kind of take a step back and zoom out a little bit, because honestly, I'll get to my reviews of WrestleMania, it's standard delivery, stuff like that, but I don't think, for me personally, just objectively looking at how everything has gone on this WrestleMania season, obviously The Rock deserves a lot of credit. I'm not taking that away from him, but I think everything that tied in with, you know, Cody getting his moment on Sunday, to Sami Zayn winning the Intercontinental Championship, to Jey Uso, you know, having a singles match on a WrestleMania show, and everything that went into the storylines during this WrestleMania season, and just where WWE is as a whole right now in 2024, as we're coming off the heels of the most successful WrestleMania of all time for all the business metrics, I don't think any of it is possible without the tribal chief. And yes, on another surface level, Paul Levesque and Nick Khan deserve a lot of credit, but just looking strictly from the talent roster and who we watch each and every single week, honestly, without Roman Reigns, who is the person that we're giving to for what this era is? We always have that one signature linchpin performer that sets the tone for the eras, right? You got John Cena for the Ruthless Aggression era and the PG era. You got Stone Cold, obviously, for the Attitude era. You got Hulk Hogan for the 80s, and et cetera, et cetera. I've been acknowledging Roman Reigns since day one. I think a lot of people have obviously jumped on the bandwagon when he made his heel turn in August of 2020. And there's a lot of context to Roman Reigns' story that I'm not going to bore you with. There's a great biography and documentary about this run and the creation of him becoming that character on A&E if you want to go check it out. But to really think about it, now that his historic 1,316-day reign as the undisputed WWE Universal Champion is over, Roman Reigns is a first ballot generational performer. First ballot Hall of Famer, obviously. And right now for me, as I think about this, now that Roman is no longer the champion, the amount of emotion and energy that it took to get to that point where Cody Rhodes finally got that 1-2-3 at the end of Sunday night in Lincoln Financial Field is not possible without the Tribal Chief and his contributions to this era of the WWE. Even regardless of how you feel about his part-time schedule, how he goes about things, etc., etc., it cannot be disputed that Cody Rhodes' momentum does not have the emotional tie-in and how can I say this, you know, substance without Roman Reigns being that foil, that villain to take down. And to have a moment where you needed to bring out a John Cena, an Undertaker, and recreate the fight scene from Avengers Endgame. I don't think that's possible without Roman Reigns. So I acknowledge Roman Reigns since day one, even before he became the Tribal Chief, even during the times when it was not cool to be a Roman Reigns fan. And when I look at these two words here, acknowledge me, I think to Roman, in a lot of sense, is for the entire industry. As it's the fan base, it's the Cody crybabies, it's the sissy marks on Twitter that are sabotaging his career. It's the wrestling media members who try to make a name out of themselves about adding asterisks during the early parts of his career. It's everything in between to literally say, look, motherfucker, I am that dude. Acknowledge me and put some respect on my name. That's Joe Anoa'i. That's Joe Anoa'i's perspective on where he was in his career as his intentions that's come out of this Tribal Chief character. Acknowledge me for myself personally is that in a nutshell. I'm not expecting people to acknowledge me. I need to acknowledge myself. I can't expect people to acknowledge my value professionally or personally if I'm not acknowledging myself. A lot of times when I go out in public, especially living here in Chicago, it's cold almost a third of the year, I'm wearing this hoodie. I'm not doing it for attention where I want people to stop and acknowledge me. I'm doing it as a daily reminder to myself that I need to acknowledge me. So really, in a lot of ways, I want to thank Joe Anoa'i, Roman Reigns, for the inspiration. You know, for him, it's a character, and it's about professional validation in a lot of ways for Roman Reigns. For me, it's more personal and an internal thing for myself, because as somebody who deals with self-doubt for the majority of my life, I need to start acknowledging myself, you know, and be proud of who I am and being proud of the things I've been able to accomplish within this field. And look, I don't have a blue check mark. I don't have gazillion followers. I'm not Sean Ross Sapp, but not any of these people. But what I do take stock in is the fact that I know who Joshua Adam Lopez is here in April of 2024. And I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of who I've become throughout this journey. And I'm very proud of the fact that I can acknowledge that, and that I don't need to seek approval from other people to make that valid, you know. In a lot of ways, man, Roman Reigns has been a big source of inspiration for me in a lot of ways. Being resilient, having that grit, and never giving up on yourself, even when people make you feel like the worst thing on earth, you know. I don't want to get emotional here, but seriously, the acknowledge me, the head of the table, everything that's come with the Tribal Chief, the presentation of the character is really a lot of things that I carry myself with now these days. And, this run is special, man. It really is. And that's the thing. This book of the Tribal Chief is not over yet just because he lost the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. He is the Tribal Chief. And it's time for you to stop adding asterisks to his career over decisions that he didn't have control over. Any of you in his position would take the same opportunities that the company was giving towards him in the beginning part of his career. We all can do the 2020 hindsight game till the cows come home. But to even get past those hurdles and still be able to change the standard and the level of which we watch this industry and take it to another level, from bring back the, in the ADD culture, the Tribal Chief character in the Bloodline was able to implement long-term storytelling and having an ADD wrestling fan base, you know, chomp on it and follow along with the ride and the journey. I don't know if there's many performers that can do what Roman Reigns has done during these past 4 years. And I'm just being completely and 100% transparent with that. The Tribal Chief character, everything that's gone on with the acknowledge me and, you know, throwing up the ones, even the stuff with Sami Zayn, it's just stuff that I really wish doesn't go unnoticed or underappreciated as time goes on. I know for a lot of people, a big point of contention was of the fact that, you know, he wasn't defending the title as much and he wasn't doing the house shows and stuff like that. But even all the personal things in his own life that he had to overcome with his house scares, another point of inspiration for Joe Anoa'i, the person behind the Roman Reigns character. I admire people who get to the top of their profession in spite of people who throw narratives towards those people and try to point them and push them in a box. You know, I have a lot of respect for people. Many of you should know that for me, my personal idol in life, especially with sports, is Michael Jordan, who's right behind me. The guy is the king of proving people wrong and succeeding within spite. And when it comes to Roman, I'm not going to come in here right now and say in my opinion, that Roman Reigns is the greatest WWE superstar of all time. But what I will say is that this run of the Tribal Chief character is on the same wavelength in a lot of ways to Michael Jordan. And the numbers don't lie. The ticket sales don't lie. The ratings don't lie. And the amount of discussion that's come with Roman Reigns, whether you like his character or don't, doesn't lie either. So I wanted to take this time for this opening monologue this week to acknowledge the Tribal Chief. Thank you for the inspiration and reminding myself that I need to acknowledge me before I can expect people to acknowledge me. You know, I need to take that time to work on myself and find out who I am. And I had to acknowledge myself first. And, you know, in a lot of ways, maybe for Roman, when he took that brief hiatus, he needed to take that time for himself too, to reevaluate what he wanted for the rest of his career. And guess what? We were the beneficiary for that. And to see the reception that he got and the whole thank you Roman chants and stuff that we saw on Raw this past Monday was something special, man. And I don't want this run from Roman Reigns to be taken for granted, because, you know, wrestling fans are wrestling fans. And if our flavor of the month doesn't get pushed to the same extent as Roman Reigns, oh, it's the end of the world. You know, I don't want that to be the case. You know, I know a lot of people still have respect for John Cena. I have respect for John Cena too. But I think a lot of his era, it was so clouded with, oh, John Cena was this guy, when you could have five or six other top stars during the era and stuff, instead of appreciating what John Cena was doing for the promotion at that time, you know. But when I look back now, and the fact that this tirade is over, I can acknowledge the fact that Roman Reigns is one of the five people, I guess you could count on your hand, that are responsible for keeping pro wrestling as exciting as it is right now. And I'm not saying that he's solely responsible for it, but as much credit you give to Paul Heyman, as much credit you can give to Triple H, as much credit you give to The Rock, as much credit you can give to Cody Rhodes, as much credit you can give to Nick Khan, as much credit you can give to anybody, I really think that pro wrestling as a whole is not where it is in this era, in this society, without the Tribal Chief and this character and the bloodline. So, this first part of the show, I want to take the time to properly acknowledge Roman Reigns, Joe Anoa'i, and say thank you. We the ones. Thank you, our Tribal Chief. On that note, when we come back, I'm going to get into my reviews. It's going to be a long episode this week, so bear with me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to get into my reviews of WrestleMania 40 and Stand and Deliver and talk to you about my experience covering this show, since I was not able to be in Philadelphia this past week. But we'll get to the reviews. Then we got a very interesting edition of What the Hell is Wrong with AEW. More on tap here on episode 408 of the Hoots Podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Hoots Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Time to talk about what happened this week at WWE. And we got two PLEs to make some recaps for. First and foremost, I want to say thanks to all of you who took the time to either check out any of the transcripts that I made this past weekend, or those who took the time to like or retweet those posts that I made for my articles. it didn't go unnoticed on my end. It's really appreciated. Like I said in the beginning of the show, it wasn't just a strong week for us on the podcast, and it was also a great weekend for yours truly when it comes to the transcripts and stuff like that. I had to see my articles rank as high as it was on Google with some of these big time platforms like CBS and Forbes and all this stuff during WrestleMania week. And that's where really when all these big outlets actually do coverage of WWE. But to say that my transcripts were worthy enough to rank as high with those other outlets, it means a lot to me. It's very humbling, and it's something that I could take within myself and be happy about, because a big part of me professionally was very dejected over the fact that I was not in Philadelphia this past weekend, and now missing the last two WrestleManias because of my predicament and stuff like that. It's been a bitter pill that I've had to swallow and a burden that I have had to accept, you know. And I have high expectations of myself. I have high goals that I'm trying to reach. And I hope one day I could look back during this time period and understand that I've been paying my dues and I've been putting in that grunt work. And more importantly, I hope that grind and that grunt work is noticed and appreciated by you guys. So, it was not easy for me last weekend. It was not. Not any sort of jealousy or envy or anything like that. I'm very happy for my colleagues that did get approved to get those WrestleMania media credentials and stuff like that, and do all the events and the scrums and stuff like that. I think that's great. All those people are well deserving of that honor. But I know my value, and I know the type of work that I put out, and I believe I deserve to be out there as much as anybody else. So, you know, it's a bitter pill to swallow sometimes when, you know, you can't see through your hard work, and you can't, it's sometimes you start guessing, second guessing yourself, like, what am I doing wrong? What do I have to do to start getting recognized on that level? And, you know, being doing this stuff for the last 10 years, you know, it starts messing with your head a little bit, you know. Did I make the right choice going down this broadcasting field? Am I going about it the right way? You know, but like I was saying in the previous segment, I need to take a step back and acknowledge myself and acknowledge the hard work that I've put into this industry and understand that even during the times when I was going through some real deep personal shit, I still kept that work ethic going. And I guess nobody can take that away from me. Whether people think that I'm good at my job when it comes to the transcripts, whether people think I'm good enough or not when it comes to this show, it's really something that I've kind of taken a step back from, because I don't know. That's not for me to say or worry about. But it's just like, it's the biggest week of it's the biggest weekend of the year. It's WrestleMania week. There's no reason why I should not be out there, you know. And I'm just being completely and 100% honest with you. In a lot of ways, I feel like I failed you guys by not being out there and not being part of these media events and stuff like that. So that's how I feel. But despite that, taking on the challenge of covering 7 wrestling shows in the 4 days could wear you out a little bit, and it was a lot. Good thing, honestly, my fingers are still working. But as I say that, you know, I look at these 3 pay-per-views that I covered on Saturday and Sunday. It's amazing to see where the company is right now, especially amidst all the stuff with Vince McMahon and everything else in between these last 3 to 5 years, where you have people who hate watch WWE. To see where they are right now, in the words of Cody Rhodes, WWE right now is undeniable. whether you want to admit that or not, whether you're the biggest AEW simp in the world. It's just the fact. The metrics are there. The conversation is there. And now the product is there too. It's undeniable. I mean, covering these shows these past couple of days, especially during this weekend, I'm like, very rare cases when I'm transcribing a show and I'm like, holy shit. Like, the fan of me is coming out during these moments and stuff. And I'm like, okay, AJ Styles, for example, he releases a new theme song. And I see him, this look on his face, and he starts, like, running down the ramp, right? And I'm like, oh, shit, it's on site. I like that stuff. Like, it's on site. Like, we're about to see some fists being thrown and stuff like that. So that stuff is cool. And then, you know, marking out. When John Cena comes out and The Undertaker during that Bloodline Rules match. Honestly, man, with the exception of CM Punk's return at Survivor Series this past fall, I never got that giddy during a wrestling match as I did during the Cody Rhodes Roman Reigns match on Sunday. And obviously, seeing my personal favorite wrestling character of all time, Undertaker, popping out during the match and giving a choke slam to the Final Boss, which is kind of ironic in a lot of ways because over the years, a lot of people have called the Undertaker the Boss. And this is his yard. And then the Tribal Chief says, now it's his yard. So for all the cross-eyed half-wits, that spent this weekend moaning over the fact that The Undertaker was there and not Stone Cold Steve Austin. Oh, it doesn't make sense. What does The Undertaker have to do with the Bloodline? Well, let me tell you, you cross-eyed halfwit. Wasn't The Undertaker feuding with Yokozuna in the 90s and, you know, having interactions with The Rock? Oh, may I forget, Roman Reigns basically made Undertaker look less than at WrestleMania 33. So, oh, The Undertaker is, it doesn't make storyline sense that The Undertaker got involved in the Bloodline match because it's not Stone Cold Steve Austin. Look, I would have loved to see Stone Cold out there as much as each and every single one of you. But to have 40 years of WrestleMania and not have The Undertaker there would be sacrilege. So you're damn right, and I am biased. The Undertaker is my favorite wrestling character. CM Punk's my favorite wrestler. So you're damn right I marked out when the lights went out and the Boss actually chokeslammed the Final Boss. So I just thought that was a goofy line. Oh, it doesn't make sense. It just amazes me in the world of professional wrestling that the wrestling fans think they are they're like English experts. They're the masters of what makes sense storyline wise, progressions, continuity, blah 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 blah, all this jargon. When you look at their tweets and you're wondering if they ever paid attention in school. Like, how are you going to tell somebody what doesn't make sense on a subjective form of entertainment when you are unwilling and unable to write a coherent sentence, let alone a thread that starts making you lose your IQ points as you read it, you know? So I just thought that was a stupid narrative that I was seeing on social media. Oh, why is The Undertaker there? He has nothing to do with the Bloodline. Honestly, you just gave away that you don't watch the product. So, anyways, let's continue on here. So, there's a lot of different takeaways that I can have for both nights of WrestleMania, you know, from Saturday. I loved the Gunther and Sami Zayn Intercontinental Championship match. I thought it was fantastic. It was everything it needed to be. To think about the level of physicality that was going on in the match. Gunther, in a lot of ways, in my opinion, may be the best pound-for-pound wrestler in the world today. His ability to obviously have the timing, the guy never has a bad match. The facial expressions, how he carries himself during the match, and everything in between. It's just, the guy's on another level, man. And, you know, I didn't pick Sami Zayn to win, but this is a situation where I wasn't upset over the fact that Sami beat Gunther and ended his historic title reign. It was a special moment. There was a lot of emphasis on Sami's wife that was there at ringside. Gunther was playing the cocky role of a guy who thinks that shit don't stink. In this instance, it has validity, because if you look at Gunther's body of work, yeah, his shit doesn't stink because he's that damn good. But Gunther loses to Sami Zayn. They do that crazy avalanche brain buster in the corner, and then Sami puts him away with two haluva kicks. Fantastic match. Happy for the ladies, Bianca Belair, Jay Cargill, and Naomi. Nice to see some representation there against Damage Control. It wasn't a quick squash match, but I thought it was a nice showcase for all three talents. And like I said earlier, it's nice to have some representation in that manner on the show. The Rhea Ripley Becky Lynch match that started off on Saturday, that was one of my favorite matches of the weekend. I'm not the biggest fan of counter wrestling, you know, where you're just doing counters every second or third move. But I appreciated the, I don't know, it's just that match felt very, very competitive. You know, there was a triple threat match that I saw in person a couple years ago at the Hell in a Cell show. It was Asuka, Becky Lynch, and Bianca Belair. I think it was for the Raw Women's Championship at the time. And it was one of the best women's matches I've ever seen. And it's just the nature of how competitive it was. It just felt like a sporting feel. And I kind of had those same vibes here with this match with Rhea and Becky. Obviously, by the way, Rhea's entrance with the band Motionless in White was fantastic. She's a star, man, on every level. She is a big-time player. And I was not surprised that she retained over Becky. But given the circumstances of Becky dealing with the strep throat and having the fever all week, it's very impressive, man. And I'm very happy for Rhea. She looked phenomenal in that match. And to have those two kick off the show, I thought set a good tone in a lot of ways. So props to those two. Trying to see if there's anything else from night one that I forgot to mention. Let's see. I know a lot of people were saying they were disappointed by the Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso match. I was kind of surprised there wasn't like any run-ins with Solo during the match. So I thought that was interesting. Look, on the surface level, you got two twins. They both had the same moveset. So I guess I could understand if your complaint was they were all doing the same moves to each other. I get that. I do. But it was a showcase match for Jay. I never thought that Jimmy was going to beat Jay. I mean, he definitely sucked the air out of the stadium if that was the decision. But, you know, it was what it was. Was it one of the – I saw some people – this is one of the worst WrestleMania matches of all time. I'm not going that far. Did I love Jay and Jimmy's match on Saturday? No, but I didn't hate it either. I thought it served its purpose. Big props to the Austin Truth. Great moment to see that. Well, I'm very happy for R-Truth to have that first, not only his first WrestleMania victory, but also his first WrestleMania moment. And definitely well deserved. Happy for Miz too, because he was hosting WrestleMania last year, and now he's a tag team champion. So I thought that was a nice moment. That ladder match was insane. Some crazy ass spots in that match. Really quick before I go to the Sunday show, I wanted to say that new like Marvel-esque intro that they got, like the Dead Now Forever Together thing that Triple H produced. I thought that was pretty cool, so I just wanted to give a shout out to that. Let's go to the Sunday show. And then, of course, we start off with, oh, I forgot to mention the tag match. So much went on this past weekend. I cannot put that tag match aside and act like it wasn't a big deal, because it was. We had The Rock and Roman Reigns against Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. I feel like I'm becoming a broken record here. It's time to put respect on The Rock's name. What he's done during this WrestleMania season is something that I hope people on the roster and people across the industry take notes on, because The Rock, regardless of everybody's favorite word, the pivot during this WrestleMania season, regardless of how you feel about the final boss, blah, 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 his role in the TKO board, The Rock, in a lot of ways, delivered one of the best performances during this entire WrestleMania season. And guess what? He also delivered inside the ring during the match. I wasn't too crazy about the brawling in the crowd stuff. I thought that went a little too long for my liking. But as far as what The Rock did inside the ring, especially with it being his first full-length match since WrestleMania 29, I thought The Rock looked impressive. And he did a very, very good job in that match. I don't know. It's something about Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns in a ring with each other that the crowd just like loses themselves. They boo the bad guys, they cheer the good guys, and it's like old school in a lot of ways. It's like every time they're in the ring with each other, the crowds are going absolutely insane. And it was the same thing Saturday, and obviously it was the same thing in the Bloodline Rules match. Maybe it's the chemistry that Cody and Roman have with each other, but It's an interesting dynamic. I thought Seth, in a lot of ways, was the unsung hero this weekend. Taking two defeats, losing the championship, also getting clocked with a Superman punch during the main event on Sunday. Seth Rollins went out on his sword this weekend, and I want to give him his flowers because it's well deserved. Seth Rollins, again, in regards of how you feel about the outfits and the gimmick he plays, the whole Mummers stuff on Sunday, Seth Rollins played a key pivotal part of WrestleMania, and Seth Rollins' body, in a lot of ways, broke down on him this weekend. He lost the championship to Drew McIntyre. Fantastic match to kick off the show. Punk was fantastic on commentary. Drew McIntyre can't leave well enough alone. He gives a wife. He gives a kiss to his beautiful wife at ringside, and then he has this stoic look on his face, and I'm like, "Oh no, don't do it, man." You're barking up the wrong tree, man. It's not worth it. I know you're on your Silky Johnson bag, but, you know, this is not the time and place for this. So guess what? He goes up to Punk. He wants to rub it in his face. He gives him the DX crotch chop. I think he also said that, like, when you get back in the ring, I'm not just going to take you off for a couple months. I'm going to end your career. So I thought that was an interesting line. And then Punk sweets him off the announce table, clocks it with the brace. Out comes the theme music for Judgment Day, and Damian Priest cashes in his Money to Bank contract and becomes your new World Heavyweight Champion. And seeing the shit inning green on CM Punk was fantastic. While this was going on, I was transcribing the match, especially that post-match melee with Punk and McIntyre, I just started laughing my ass off because Drew You didn't have to do it, man. You could have waited the next night on Raw to go towards Punk. But he had it coming to him. He was so obsessed with CM Punk. Not even him getting his special moment in front of live fans that he made such an emphasis on, of him winning a title in front of live fans. He just had to go for the well and go towards CM Punk. And, well, if there's a lesson that you can take away from this podcast or in the industry as a whole, don't go after CM Punk because it's not going to end well for you. Or as the kids would say, fuck around and find out. And that's Drew got this weekend, man. I want to say that I have sympathy for him, but I don't. At least from a character point of view, I don't have sympathy for him. When you go after CM Punk and being so obsessed in that manner, it's going to come back to bite you in the ass. So that was a crazy way to kick off the show. By the way, great to see Stephanie McMahon back on my TV screen. One of the greatest waterfalls of all time. But more importantly, very great for her to be back in that element. I thought you could tell the look on her face how much it meant to her for her to be out there. So that was nice to see. We go from the World Heavyweight Championship match. Then we had the Philadelphia Street Fight where Bobby and Street Profits, with help from Bubba Ray Dudley, put away the final testament. That was what it was. Snoop Dogg was pretty good on commentary. I'm not going to lie. That was pretty funny. I did not know that Snoop Dogg was that passionate as a wrestling fan. But, I mean, I know that they added him to the Hall of Fame as a celebrity a few years back. But Snoop Dogg, man, he's all in with wrestling, and Snoop Dogg knows what's up, so that was pretty cool. Really, really enjoyed the AJ Styles LA Knight match. If you want my opinion, I think Night 2 was a better wrestling show than Night 1. The AJ LA Knight match was just a really good pay-per-view grudge-style match. A nice showcase for LA Knight. He got the victory over AJ Styles. But I just like the physicality in that match. The triple threat for the U.S. title with Logan, Kevin, and Randy. I thought that was another good match. I don't know about you guys, but I really want a Randy Orton and Kevin Owens feud. If that's something that could start tomorrow on SmackDown, I'm all for it. It's really something that I want to see. So I think that'd be pretty cool. But that triple threat match was good. And again, Logan Paul's another one of those performers that you got to start putting respect on the guy's name, because he's just on another level. And the guy's damn good at his job. So congrats to Logan on retaining his United States Championship. From there, we had the match that almost stole the entire weekend. And a match that was the semi-main of the show, the women's championship match between champion Io Sky and the challenger Bayley. These two women killed it, man. I think Bayley and Io had the best women's match of WrestleMania this past weekend. And that match was so good that it almost stole the show. But I think, you know, having the thought in the back of your mind that you could have this kind of like Avengers Assemble sequence in the Cody Roman match kept the crowd as invested as they were into the main event. But those two ladies brought the goods. That was a fun match to transcribe, and so well deserved for Bayley becoming the new women's champion. So congratulations go out to her. I talked a little bit about Cody and Roman to begin this segment, but their chemistry in the ring is fantastic. I obviously, with this being a rematch from last year's match, which again was one of my all-time favorite main events in WrestleMania history, so here we are a year later, and then to not only double down during the rematch, but making that match as important and have as much emotion or even more emotion than it was this time last year. So everybody was like, oh, they made a mistake not giving the title to Cody last year at WrestleMania. You're wrong. Let's just say that. You're wrong. And this is a great example of patience is virtue. And Cody Rhodes got his moment. All hell is breaking loose. I was starting to lose focus on just how giddy, excited I was when John Cena and The Undertaker came out and all hell is breaking loose. And then to see the celebration after, you know, Cody's giving the title to his mom, his sister's there, great lady, Teal. By the way, seeing Brandy be part of the entrance with Cody was fucking awesome. I'm very happy for her. I know I was very highly critical of her work, and especially Cody on AEW. I'm not going to piggyback here and act like I've been a Cody crybaby or Cody Bart this whole time, because that's not the case. I was very critical during their presentation and stuff on AEW. But I know Brandy's a great person, and I was happy to see her get her flowers, having that reception with her being part of the entrance on Sunday. So I thought that was pretty cool. But all in all, man, WrestleMania, despite the fact within my heart that I was hurt, that I was not there, it was special. It was very special. This was the 9th WrestleMania that I covered with doing the transcript. And the Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns match is the most entertaining match I've ever transcribed. And I can say that with validity. It's the most entertaining match I've ever transcribed. Is it the best wrestling match I ever transcribed? No. But it's definitely the most entertaining match I've ever transcribed. And it's definitely the most entertaining match I've ever... It's the most entertaining WrestleMania main event that I've ever transcribed. So, salute to Cody and Roman and Rock and everybody that was responsible for making that main event what it was. It was a classic. And it's something that we'll never forget. So, that was WrestleMania. Let me talk a little bit about NXT Stand and Deliver. That was a show that happened that before WrestleMania Saturday. Just a couple of things off the top of my head. It's not going to be very long because there's a part of this segment that I want to show some audio and video for you guys with Triple H, since all the talk this week is about the new era and stuff like that. So there's some controversial comments coming out of that interview that he did with Pat McAfee. But going back to NXT, I say it every week, man. Shawn Michaels and the crew down there are putting in some good work. They really are. That triple threat with Obafemi and Dijak and Josh Briggs was fantastic, especially for those who like hostile matches or meat matches, if you will. it was very, very good. You know, congratulations goes out to Roxanne Perez. Becoming the new NXT Women's Champion. I really enjoyed her match with Live Valkyria. That was a fantastic match to transcribe. Ilya Dragunov retained over Tony D'Angelo. I thought it was a good match, but obviously you could tell the crowd was saving some of their energy for the main event, which was the Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. But before I talk about that, I do have to say really quick, the match with the Wolf Dogs and Axiom and Nathan Frazier was very difficult for me to transcribe. I think that match as a whole was the hardest one for me to type out. Because one, Axiom and Nathan Frazier definitely belong in AEW. They don't listen to referees whatsoever. They make the referees look stupid. I lost count like maybe two or three different times. Like, who's the legal person here? but the action was fantastic. I think the Wolf Dogs are a very good tag team that would work on Raw or SmackDown, to be honest with you. But that match was a lot of fun to transcribe, but it's definitely difficult in a lot of ways to just catch up with all the moves that they're doing. The Wolf Dogs won on Saturday, but Axiom and Frazier requested to have a rematch on NXT this past week. and they're now your new NXT Tag Team Champions. So congratulations go out to Axiom and Nathan Frazier. Then we go to the main event with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. The crowd's crazy for Trick. Trick got his moment to shine, and he did. He defeated Carmelo Hayes. It was a good match. I thought it'd be a little bit longer, but Trick got his moment, and Trick got a big victory over Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo Hayes decided to attack Trick Williams from behind towards the end of this past week's edition of NXT. Now, next week, they're going to be fighting each other in a steel cage match. Now, before we get to our main event segment, which all of you are waiting for, and don't worry, I got a lot of stuff to say about this AEW stuff, but there was an interview that Triple H did this past week at WWE World at WrestleMania at the Philly Convention Center, and Triple H was a guest on the Pat McAfee show. And I wanted to play a little bit of this interview for you guys. And a lot of interesting questions that were thrown towards Triple H during his interview. And let's play it for you guys. Here's Triple H from WWE World at WrestleMania. This was recorded on Friday, I believe. And let's hear what Triple H has to say.
I'm not sure if I'm flattered or threatened.
Yeah. Ty's got a question for you.
Yeah, Triple H, despite what anyone may say, the best talent in the world is in the WWE, and it's been that way for a really long time. And you talk about the 24/7 aspect of your job. How do you maintain just everything you have going on in-house and the current superstars on the roster, and also looking at like talent acquisition and, you know, finding the next Cody Rhodes or some of these other guys? Like, how do you split that beam? How do you be where your feet are, essentially, while also looking out for the future of the business?
That's the trick, right? It's the trick in all of this. I say for me as well, like, you know, married, 3 kids. I want to spend time with them. People ask me all the time, work-life balance. It's bullshit. There isn't work-life balance. There is none. You do the best you can. Be present where you are. If there are things that I used to be on top of all the time, I would keep track of everybody that was everywhere that was in this business working, right? I don't have time to do that anymore. I have people that do that. You know, people like William Regal and you know, different folks that are out there that I get reports on everybody. I know who's out there. I know how good they are. I know what their potential is. I see what's out there. I see what's don't. And I don't subscribe to the, oh, well, this guy says they're good, that guy says they're good. I have to see it and feel it, right? I have people that I trust. It's just keeping track of who's out there, how good they are, and what you think they can do. And because they succeed someplace else doesn't mean they'll succeed at the big time.
Uh-huh.
How many players go from college football at a high level and fail in the NFL? Yep. It's massive, right? It's a different game. It's a different world. If they're not here to be all in on this, like when I see people that come out of, you know, trying to make it and then they pick the job where they go, well, they work less, the schedule's lighter. All right, then I'm glad I didn't get you.
Okay.
Because if you're not in it for the grind at that point early in your career, you have no business being here.
Okay, so when I was in the league, I would come to every event that you guys had. And I got hooked up with somebody at the WWE, I forget who it was, and they sent me a DVD about becoming a superstar. It was like a recruiting DVD, I think, for people that would get sent out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, here's what a superstar is and kind of laid out what it is. Here's the steps you could take if you want to become a WWE superstar. In your eyes, what does it take to succeed at the WWE? Because there is people who have had success that might have 3 initials, you know, that these people were just chanting moments ago. It's like, what do you think in the WWE it takes to be successful? Why do some people go and why do some people not, you think, in the WWE?
So, in a lot of ways, like I always say, charisma is king. And that's the truth in this business. I can make a long list of people that were not at the upper echelon of the athletics that were massive stars in this industry, right? Charisma is king. You know, the athleticism is one thing. So when we're recruiting, especially now as we're recruiting through NIL program and college athletes all around the globe that have a passion to come in and do this, they're all amazing athletes, right? You find out which ones are the better ones for what we do, but then charisma is king. Leadership is king. I look when we go to these tryouts and they're going through the three-day stuff, we wear them out, and then we look to see when you're exhausted, your true personality shows, right? When you're, yes, when you're on your last breath, your true personality shows. I want to see who's a leader. I want to see who picks the guy up next to him and goes, come on, dude, suck it up. We can do this. Let's go, right? As much as this is an individual effort, this is a team effort, right? We're all here to put on the greatest show for them in the world, from top to bottom. So they've all got to work together to make that happen. It's not one person's gig.
Last question for me. I know you're very busy, and I think they can hear us. You can hear us now?
All right. I wanted to play that snippet for you guys. But all in all, that's what happened this week in WWE. If you missed an opportunity to see any of my transcripts, you can find those in the results section of WrestlingHeadlines.com or ProWrestlingTranscriptions.com. But enough with the shenanigans around the WWE world. Let's get to the main event here. Ladies and gentlemen, again, if you missed the beginning in the beginning disclaimer for this show, I am going to apologize in advance for the volume that I'm going to be expressing during this segment and the amount of language that will be distributed during this segment. Ladies and gentlemen, there comes a time where we need to have a conversation, and a conversation that's necessary in context, with substance and nuance. It's time to just put people in their place. And ladies and gentlemen, we do that better than anybody else in the world when it comes to the world of professional wrestling, especially when it pertains to an outlaw mud show that has the inability to produce a good show if their life fucking depended on it. And on that note, that means it's time once again to take the trip down to a world that we like to call What the Hell Is Wrong with AEW. Good God Almighty, what in the fuck am I going to get myself into? We start this bad boy off, and ladies and gentlemen, in a 3, 2, 1.
Your meat, beat, 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 your meat.
I'm telling you, my time. Right now, right this minute, 2022, we're living it. My time is now. My time is right. God damn now.
Man, what intensity. The quality of the product and the quality of the shows is at an all-time high right now. But I do know that it's a real war between AEW and WWE.
I'm still cashing fat checks. And I am still banging the hottest bitch in this entire place.
It's time for What the Hell Is Wrong with AEW?
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of
fuck
here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
One more time.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Mm-mm.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of
fuck
here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
What the hell is wrong? AEW this week is brought to you by the good folks at the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Figure Four Online, and of course, PW Torch and Fightful, who's responsible for Will Washington being part of AEW Creative. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to take a trip down the rabbit hole known as the world of All Elite Wrestling, the promotion that claims to offer high level, high quality professional wrestling on the weekly basis on networks of Warner Brothers Discovery in their network of channels. Let me take a deep breath before I go absolutely ape shit here. Okay. Okay. I must stress the point that a couple of weeks ago, I was really seriously contemplating stopping this segment as a whole. Not because AEW was starting to gain momentum and putting better shows. Stopping the segment as a whole because I felt it was overstaying its welcome. And secondly, I didn't want to talk about AEW anymore. I felt like I was running in quicksand in a lot of ways, trying to find ways to make What the Hell's Wrong with AEW better from this week, from the last week, or the week before that. It was a challenge because I know this is the staple segment of this podcast. And I'm very proud of what me and Brother Carter have been able to accomplish with this segment. For those who get it and the purpose behind the segment, we appreciate you. For those who don't get it, be offended. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to start off with this. I think all of us collectively, as a wrestling media unit, as a wrestling fan base, all collectively owe Dixie Carter an apology. Because this fucking meth head, doubled eye fuck known as Tony Khan makes Dixie Carter look like Paul Heyman. Oh, I got the great idea. How about following the week of WrestleMania, which also the week prior, my company was made to look like the clown show, Outlaw Mud Show promotion that it's already been because CM Punk, once again, told no lies on the Ariel Helwani show. Here's my idea. I'm going to air footage of a brawl that happened 8 months ago to try to build up hype for a match and a rivalry that's not mentioned any of the time these two tag teams have fought each other. So, guess what? We have the Young Bucks and FTR who were on that same card at Wembley Stadium and All In in August of last year. Yeah, they have good matches. Are they legendary? Do we remember these clinics of Young Bucks and FTR and this epic rivalry between these two tag teams? And every time I have to hear a promo from Matt Jackson, fake tough guy Jackson, or balding buck known as Nick Jackson. Literally, this is what comes off the top of my head every time I have to hear these two asshats talk. Listen to this.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Oh, brother, again.
Brother, this guy stinks!
Again.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
One more time.
Brother, this guy stinks!
So, you have these two fucking clown shoes in a, I guess what you could look as the representation of a teacher lounge. You know, setting this up to look at this footage of CM Punk basically getting up in Jack Perry's grill after, you know, the whole Cry Me a River real glass comment. And basically all it was CM Punk shoves Jack Perry and then gets him into a front choke. And then we see Punk, you know, starts yelling in the direction of Tony Khan because basically that's the gorilla position that they had back there for Wembley Stadium. And just the concept and the idea of making this a thing as an attempt to add interest to Dynasty and add interest to AEW Dynamite, a show who now is starting to average 700,000 viewers, let alone 800,000 viewers. Again, like I said at the beginning of the segment, we all collectively owe Dixie Carter an apology. this idiot has no balls, has the unwillingness to be a boss. Three, has his database of professional wrestling dictated by Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer. Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer are as clueless at their jobs as fucking John Paxson and Garth Foreman were when they were running the Bulls. Or, here's another example. Dave Meltzer is as useless as Ted Phillips was as the CEO of the Chicago Bears. What in your mind thinks that, okay, I'm going to pull up a brawl that happened with CM Punk and Two-Face Dipshit that nobody gives two rats ass about? Hey, congratulations, Jack. Congratulations, but you call yourself a scapegoat and you got Anna Jay as your girlfriend. Congratulations. I'm not going to knock you. Good for you. Good for you that you're a fucking asshat with no self-awareness and can get away with whatever you want because you're the son of Luke Perry for 90210. Congratulations, man. Nobody gives two fucks about you. So we're going to hype up this rematch of the Young Bucks at FCR, but basically spoiling it that Jack Perry is going to cost Dax and Cash the titles at Dynasty. Woohoo! Is anybody that's going to this pay-per-view in St. Louis in a couple weeks going to get two shits whether or not Jack fucking Perry is coming out there with his ugly-ass fucking curly hair fro and his wet mop of a body? Like who gives a rat's ass? Jack Perry may be more generic than Times New Roman font was. For those who are OG supporters of the Hoots podcast, you guys know who Ty's New Roman font was. So we got Two-Face Dipshit basically coming back on our airwaves. Great. Guess what? I found out that Jack Perry is going to be here in Chicago tomorrow night for the New Japan show. So in an attempt to make CM Punk look bad because he told the truth on the Ariel Helwani show last week, here's... And now it makes all sense world. It's Tony Khan's decision to air this footage. Oh, we're going to get back at Triple H this week. We're going to get back at CM Punk. We're going to gain momentum because the only way that AEW makes themselves feel like they're on a higher level is when they have to bring up the WWE. Because there's nothing unique. There's no identity. There's no calling card for what's AEW. There's nothing about AEW that's like, okay, this is what I can latch onto, and this is what I can support for the promotion. Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's 2024. This promotion is 5 years old, and it still doesn't have a fucking identity. Because it's run by a fucking Mark. A Mark who has money that he didn't fucking earn. Power that he didn't earn. What? You curry favor with the dirt sheet so you think you're worthy enough of running a fucking wrestling promotion? You fumbled the bag of one of the best opportunities in the world to bring in an alternative. Do something that TNA didn't do. Do something that Ring of Honor didn't do. You had the opportunity to be a real alternative. And guess what you did? You fell for the fucking lowest common denominator. You reverted to doing what you've been doing your entire life, Tony Khan, being a fucking dirt sheet Mark. Placate to the lowest common denominator of our audience. And the intention is not about putting AEW over. It's about putting yourself over. So tell me again about what makes AEW elite in 2024. Are they elite at producing good television? No. Are they elite at their commentary booth? No. Are they elite at their referee crew? Hell no. Enough of the fucking excuses. Nobody here is wishing death on AEW. But you know what is wrong with AEW? The owner, the matchmaker, the booker, the man that signs the checks. You know, people want to take their cheap shots at Eric Bischoff. You know what's the difference between Eric Bischoff and Tony Khan? Eric Bischoff had balls. Everybody talks about The Miz having tiny balls. Gutless. You are a gutless twat, Tony Khan. I hope you know that. You're a gutless twat. You are so fixated on having the wrestling media in your corner that you are unwilling to look yourself in the mirror and see how you conduct yourself, let alone what you decide to put on your own fucking television show. This idea of airing footage of a guy that hasn't been in your promotion for 8 months is almost as stupid as having a fucking main event with Chris Jericho and Nick Gage. Whatever the hell you were trying to accomplish last night with that segment, it's almost as eye-rolling as that fucking death match that I had to watch with Nick Gage and Chris Jericho a couple years ago. Or the Mimosa Mayhem match. Or the angle where you had a wrestler going after a guy that didn't even have a leg. Trying to redo the whole Zach Godwin bit. It wasn't good then. It wasn't good and now. And to have the Hardy Boys basically be the narrators to set up this footage where we get no audio. It lines up with everything that CM Punk said in the interview. And three, the people of Charleston, West Virginia last night were chanting his name. So what do you accomplish? Oh, we made CM Punk look bad. Well, we got anticipation for Jack Perry coming back on our TV. Get the fuck out of here. Nobody in their right mind is clamoring for Jack Perry on our television screens. And everything I said towards Anna Jay, that's not a personal knock on her. Like who you like. I really don't give a fuck at the end of the day. That's none of my business. But what is it about Jack Perry, am I supposed to have sympathy for? A guy who's disrespectful to legends? A guy who thinks his shit doesn't stink because he's the son of a famous actor? The fact that his shit don't stink because he's butt buddies with the EVPs? How am I supposed to have sympathy for a guy who's being portrayed as a scapegoat? No, Jack Perry, you're a fucking idiot. You're not a scapegoat. You're a fucking idiot. That's what you are. We didn't need the all-in incident for CM Punk to leave AEW. He even said after the brawl-out situation that he wanted to go. And I don't blame him. Because he was sold a bill of goods by this fucking Mark who does nothing but freaking read articles from Meltzer and Alvarez and etc. and snorts cocaine all day. That's all he does. I'm supposed to take Tony Khan's expertise in pro wrestling seriously? Guy makes fucking Vince Russo look like fucking Shakespeare. How do we follow up this segment? Oh, let's have Will Ospreay come out and cut another promo about something going on with WWE with the comments that I just played a few minutes ago for Triple H about grinding and you have to be all in if you're going to be part of the promotion. Look, if Will's that personally offended by it, who fucking who? Seriously, boo fucking who? There's a time and place for everything, and to follow up 15 minutes of a wasted time segment to add even more attention towards WWE. In a lot of ways, they're doing fucking laps around you in regards to distribution, money, entertaining content, business. WWE's here. And here's AEW. And this is the reality check that a lot of you twats need to realize. Because this right here is not growing. It's flatlining. This promotion is a waste of our fucking time. I don't want to do this segment anymore because I don't want to watch AEW anymore. I don't want it to fail. I don't want it to go out of business. What is the purpose for me to watch this fucking product anymore? What am I getting out of it? Enabling performers who run to the dirt sheets because they didn't get the creative that they want from WWE. Swerve Strickland, Athena, etc., etc. Boo fucking who? Literally, it's stupid. You run the footage, then you have to have poor FTR come out there and basically say what everybody else is thinking. The week prior, you have Edge doing a rah-rah speech that fell on deaf ears. And this week, you aired this footage for a ratings hit. And guess what? You barely scratched over 810,000 viewers. So again, I ask you, what is the point of this promotion? Why are we putting ourselves through this shit? Unfucking real. I have to sit here and watch shows and tell me about, oh, WWE, you gotta watch out for AEW because they got Mercedes and Ospreay and Okada. Yet all the attention from AEW, despite those free agents, is still the WWE because that's the only thing they're good at is bringing up what's going on in the other promotion because they don't have the ability to do anything to make their product stand out. That's what happens when you don't have an identity. And that's what happens when you got fucking marks in a creative room. So again, when I have to hear about how great Tony Khan is as a wrestling mind, this is what I have to think about in my head.
Wow. Look at these morose motherfuckers right here. Smells like somebody shit in their cereal. Bung.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Hey, great idea. Hey, Will Ospreay. Big baby face. Oh, you know what gets you hooked up with the AEW crowd? Oh, let's have you talk shit about Triple H. That's going to draw next to no money. Triple H is not showing up at Dynasty. CM Punk is not showing up at Dynasty. Is there anybody else from the WWE roster that we want to mention here on this product? Because that's all you're good at. Then trying to enable feuds, they're not going anywhere. Chris Jericho and Hook. Who gives a fuck? Lion Hook. This is the best the all-time great Chris Jericho could give to us in 2024. Lion Hook. This is worse than Impact Wrestling on Pop TV. And I'm not even trying to be funny here. I'm being dead on serious with you guys. This product fucking sucks. I don't give them extra brownie points for putting on good wrestling matches. Oh, yeah, Edge and Pentagon had a good match last night. Guess what? Those two have a good match with fucking Ray Charles and dragging him off from the fucking grave. You can have those two have a good match with a broom. So, I don't have sympathy for these guys. I don't. Because as we said in the beginning of this segment, once we started doing this, that they do a better job writing the segment for us than whatever research I could do for this segment. And then their infinite wisdom. Let's do our main event of Dynamite, basically doing Samoa Joe against Dustin Rhodes because Cody fought Roman at WrestleMania. All Elite Wrestling, my ass. This is the world's greatest dirt sheet vanity project that is going to destruct by its own accord. Not on my own accord, not by Jim Cornette, not by Eric Bischoff, or the people that like to attack us for being haters. They're going to self-destruct on their own accord. And it's a shame to the men and women who bought into the bill of goods that Tony Khan has given to them. You got a dirt cheap vanity project and a WWE rehab center. That is what AEW is in a nutshell. So congratulations. Let me take a swig of water before I end this segment here. Let's do the Ask Me Impression and we'll wrap it up here. Coming to you live tomorrow night on TNT, it's another stellar edition of AEW Rampage. Here's your matches. First, we have Colin and taking on Zack Knight. Next, we have Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team Champion Jay White taking on Matt Sydal. Right here, we have Pocket taking on Alex Reynolds of the Dark Order. And the main event for the TBS Championship is the champion Julia Hart taking on Layla Hirsch. Then coming up on Sunday, April 21st, from the Chase Arena in St. Louis, Missouri, it's AEW Dynasty. Here's your matches. It's a dream match, pitting Will Ospreay against Brian Danielson. Next, the finals for the vacated AEW World Tag Team Championship. It's the Young Bucks taking on FTR. The House Rules match for the AEW TBS Championship. It's Julia Hart taking on Will Nyko. The winner will be taking on Mercedes Moné for the AEW TBS Championship at Double or Nothing. Next is a Trails match that was made official a couple weeks ago on Collision. It's the Rated R Superstar, Anna Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe taking on the House of Black. We're there for the AEW Women's World Championship. It's Timeless Toni Storm taking on Thunder Rosa. And a match that was made official this week on Dynamite for the AEW Continental Crown Championship. It's the Rainmaker Kazuchika Okada taking out the Bastard Pack. And the main event for the AEW World Championship. It's Samoa Joe taking out Swerve Strickland. More matches to be announced. Make sure to follow Tony Khan at Twitter at Tony Khan. And make sure to get all your AEW tickets right now at AEWTIX.com. Repeat, that's AEWTIX.com. Again, we all owe Dixie Carter an apology because Tony Khan couldn't run a wrestling company if his life depended on it. And on that note, that is what the hell's wrong with AEW this week.
This has been What the Hell is Wrong with AEW.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of
fuck
here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what the hell is wrong? AEW is in the books this week. We got one more segment to do here before we put a ribbon on the bow of this week's podcast. It's time to answer your questions as we take a trip down to the world of the Back Porch Q&A session right here on the Who's Podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Podcast, everybody. Time for one more segment here on the podcast this week as we answer your questions in this week's edition of the Back Porch Q&A session. Let's do it, shall we? Start off with the good brother, Chris Zaletta at XTeamZaletta24X on Twitter. Let's give a shout out to Chris. Any earlier WWE draft predictions? Good question there. I say Kevin Owens probably goes back to Raw. I can see the titles kind of switching brands. So, like, the U.S. go to Raw, and the WWE title will stay, my bad, the Universal title will stay at Raw. The World Heavyweight Championship will go to SmackDown. I think the IC title will go to SmackDown. Then you go to have the U.S. Championship on Raw. So I can see that scenario. Maybe Randy Orton goes to Raw. I can see Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch maybe going to SmackDown. That'd be a nice guess on my end. Those are just the ones off the top of my head. I do think that Bianca Belair will be coming back to Raw, though. That's a guess of mine. Who wins the Trick Mello Steel Cage match? I'm going to go with Mello. It looks like they're going to do like a trilogy here with these guys. So I think by nefarious means, I think Mello will win. If it doesn't happen, Trick will win. And then that's Carmelo's send-off. And then Trick gets his shot at spring break-in against Dragunov. So that's probably how it's going to go. Which Cody Roman match do you like better? Entertaining-wise, for me, it was this one. But from a transcription point of view, just pure wrestling-wise, I think last year's match was better than this one. Who do you think will be Cody's first challenger? There's a lot of choices. It could be Solo. It could be Kevin Owens. There are some good choices. We'll have to see what happens tomorrow night on SmackDown. I think Cody's going to be on that show as well. So we'll have to see where it goes first. Thoughts on Jacob Fatu signing. Is Zilla not far behind? Well, I know Umaga's son is making the waves around the independency now. I don't know where he's at. I'm pretty sure he can make his way to NXT soon. But the Jacob Fatu signing is a big get for WWE. It really is. He's fantastic. Covered his journey in MLW. The guy's a fantastic performer, so I'm happy for him. I really am. I think Jacob Fatu is going to do some good shit, but I don't know as far as Zilla. Maybe it's a little too early to say that he's coming, but I'm sure one day he'll be in WWE for sure. Is Jimmy and Jay unfinished? Does Jimmy get involved again in Jay's World Heavyweight title opportunity? Yes, it's definitely unfinished. And yes, Jimmy will cost Jay the world title on Monday. Whenever Jay gets this match with Damian Priest, Jimmy will cost Jay the match. I do believe that. When Roman returns, does he and Seth Rollins pick back up? Well, that depends on where things are with Seth Rollins. I don't know how long he's going to be out with the injury. So we'll have to see. I wouldn't put it past him. It's not a bad idea, but we'll have to see. I'm not really sure yet about that, but it's a good question, Chris. Thoughts on the Wise Man's Hall of Fame speech? I loved it. I was not surprised that Paul Heyman delivered a great Hall of Fame speech. The guy is a legend. He's an inspiration. Everything you would expect from Paul Heyman of Hall of Fame speech, you got it, and then some. And the guy is the greatest orator in the history of professional wrestling, and that's not even up for debate. It really is. It's not even close. So, Paul Heyman is a legend, and his Hall of Fame speech was special. I got emotional watching it, too, on Friday. Shout out to the buddy Brett Schrepsel here chiming in. I'm doing good, man. Thank you for checking it out. Shout out to the good brother Patrick Fritz, who mentioned this on Twitter X earlier. Appreciate the comment, Pat. Let's continue on here. Your favorite three matches for the past weekend from all three shows. Okay, I'll do this in order. From Stand and Deliver, my favorite match was Roxanne Perez and Live Valkyria, the triple threat for the North American title, and then Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams. From Saturday was Gunther, Becky and Rhea and the tag team title main event. From Sunday was obviously Cody and Roman, the triple threat with Randy, Logan, and Kevin. And then, no, my bad. It's Cody, Roman, Bayley, and EO. Then the triple threat with Kevin, Logan, and Randy. Those are my three favorite matches there. So thank you for the question, good brother. I appreciate it. Let's continue on here. Does Chad Gable eventually turn on Sammy? That's a good question. Yes, I think Chad Gable will turn on Sami Zayn on Raw this week in Montreal. I think Chad Gable will definitely turn on Sammy. Does KO and Orton Brotherly team continue? We'll have to see. I mean, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, the new SmackDown Tag Team Champions. So it would make sense for Randy and Kevin to, you know, maybe go after the tag titles, but I'd rather see them be in the feud with each other. But that's just my opinion. We'll have to see how that one plays out tomorrow. Brett here adds a question. He says, what do you think of the Final Testament going back to NXT? I think it's a good choice for them if that's something that they want to do. I think for me, it's good for them, and it gives them something to do and not being in catering. So, honestly, that's my thoughts on it, to be honest. Yeah, so that's my thoughts on it. Let's see. What other questions we got here? Thank you, Chris, for the questions this week, brother. I appreciate it. We got our last set of questions here for the good brother, Mike Rubio, at Main Event Swerve. He says, what up, Oos? I hope you enjoyed a wild WrestleMania week full of amazing moments. Here are some questions for the Bad Porch. Number one, what did you think of Billy Starks and ROH faking a neck injury yet winning the match? Ring of Honor is no different from AEW. I'm not surprised. They tried to do a fake seizure spot a couple times with Bryan Danielson, so why am I not surprised? Stupid, dumb. Tony Khan is a clown. Next. With that, what is more iffy move? The fake neck injury yet winning or the basketball inbounds pass off the opponent's back at the end of the game are both fair game? I don't think either are fair game. I just think both of them are stupid, to be honest with you. I hate to be blunt about it, Mike, but it's not a bad question. It's just I think both situations are stupid and unnecessary. Who do you have winning the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament, the phenomenal Caitlin Clark or the undefeated South Carolina? You know what? I'm going to go with Caitlin Clark. Why not? I'm not really into college sports, but she seems to be a big draw, so I'll go with Caitlin Clark in Iowa. I understand slower or more dramatic contests, but was the Usos match a bit underwhelming to you? It seemed more like a Raw match to me. Look, everybody's got their different perspectives on the match. I thought it served its purpose. I knew the match was going to be a little different than what you would expect. Obviously, there's no DQ added. There wasn't no disqualification or added stipulation towards it, so I guess there was only so much they could do, but I thought it was more a showcase match for Jay than what it was like with Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy at WrestleMania 25. So that's my thoughts on it. I joked last year, but what do you think about Stephon Diggs about 10 free agents and the brand new Texans? They might be an AFC contender around the corner. Well, they might be. And shout out to Nick Casario who came there for the Patriots. He's finally doing his job. So, look, I think the brand new Texans will be a team to reckon with this football season. Do they make it to the AFC Championship game? We'll have to see. Jason Kelce, I totally get for the media cameo, but Lane Johnson, how do you think that came about? Well, Lane Johnson's always been a big football, always been a big wrestling fan, and there was a video of him working out with Seth Rollins recently. So, I'm happy that Jason Kelce was there. I did not need to see Travis Kelce on my screen, so that's good. I'm more of a fan of Jason, to be honest with you. And his wife is fucking hot, so I got to be honest about that as well. But Lane Johnson's always been a big wrestling fan, so it was cool to see him to be out there as well. Is it time to admit that the CEO isn't a needle mover? 720,000 viewers for Dynamite last week. Well, Mike, I think you answered your own question. To be honest with you, we were saying this before she signed with AEW. We were saying this when she was out there in New Japan. Mercedes Moné is a good wrestler, but her hype and her ego is not a drop that she thinks she is. And that's, it is what it is. Also, why does the CEO presenter dress like the CEO of Hot Topic or worse? I don't know, man. it's a mixture of JCPenney, Spencer's, and Ross, if we're being honest. what do you think of Grayson Waller taking shots at the CM Punk backstage video in its own way? Look, I really think WWE needs to recreate the Player Haters Ball Skin for the Chappelle Show, because there are some savages on social media for WWE performers. Whether it's Dijak with the ratio stuff, Drew McIntyre, Grayson Waller. Like, it's time to bring back the Player Haters Ball. That's what I'm trying to say. It was hilarious. I was laughing my ass off when I saw it. Which night of WrestleMania did you like more, night one or night two? I thought both were amazing. I thought both were really good in their own ways. I think for me personally, from a transcription point of view, I enjoyed night two more than I enjoyed night one. The Rock says that he wants to find a boss to stay past the Bloodline storyline. How would you like that to happen? Well, that's the thing. I don't know what The Rock wants to do. Does he want to stay and have feuds with other people? Does he recreate rivalries? Does he have like another one-off with John Cena? Does Rock have a match with CM Punk again? Does he have a match with Randy Orton? I don't know what he wants to do outside of the Bloodline. And I don't know how much longer The Rock is going to wrestle, but I'll tell you what, man. I'm not going to doubt the final boss. All of you and the Cody Crybabies can doubt the final boss, but I'm not. After what we saw this past WrestleMania season, whatever The Rock is going to do, it's going to deliver. And you can best believe that. How would you like to see Roman Reigns return from the most impactful loss of his career? Well, I like to do it a little differently before he gets back to the arena. I would like to have like some pre-recorded things where you see him at his house and seeing conversations between him and the wise man and see where his head's at. I would like to see a totally different approach than just him coming up out on TV and then attacking somebody. You know, I like to see a little different approach because this is a Tribal Chief. It's not some random guy on the roster. So that's how I would go about it. Also, can we not ask Roman Reigns in character? So how's that leukemia going for you during a press conference? Oh, God. Brother, don't get me started on those press scrums, because we're going to be here for another hour or so. And I heard that question, and it almost made me want to pull my eyes out. What a terrible fucking question that was. Not yours, but the one that reporter asked Roman at the press conference. It's just so fucking stupid. Even assuming about the whole leukemia thing, it's just fucking embarrassing. Finally, O.J. Simpson died today. Any thoughts on the man, the acting roles, or his football accomplishments? No, I don't have a lot of thoughts on him personally. I watched the FX series about that whole trial with him and the murders and stuff. He definitely did it. From what I'm hearing throughout the day today is that he wasn't a good person either. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't have any sympathy for him. You know, it is what it is. I send my condolences out to his family, but I leave it out to that. I really don't have much positive to say about O.J. Simpson, but I'll leave it to that. But the show about O.J., the FX show with Sarah Paulson and Cuba Gooding Jr. was very, very good. But on that note, also, by the way, I want to give a send my condolences to the family of Mr. C. If you guys know about the story of the Notorious B.I.G., Mr. C. is really a big reason behind B.I.G. becoming who he was. So, and giving him the opportunity. So, my thoughts and prayers go out to Mr. C, who did a lot of great work on Hot 97 as well over the years. So, my thoughts and prayers go out to his family. But on that note, I want to thank you all for hanging out with me today. This is a very cathartic edition of the Hoots Podcast, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. As always, you can like this video and subscribe to our channel as we roll to 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter at the Hoots Podcast. Check out my transcripts and the results section of WrestlingHeadlines.com. Don't forget to follow the show on Spotify. That helps to expand the reach of the show. And don't forget, folks, be the authentic product that is yourself. And remember, nobody dictates the pace of your life but yourself and the man upstairs. I'm Josh. This has been episode 408 of the Hoots Podcast. And we'll talk to y'all next week. Yeet. See y'all later.
Bye-bye, bitch.